So over the years, I've inherited a lot of things, especially from my parents and especially from my dad. I wanted to talk to you about a few of those things that I've inherited. I'm the same height that he was. I say was because he's entered that shrinking phase of life where he's getting shorter, and I don't think I'm far from it. Regularly, you know, I have this issue that sometimes I tear up and get a little emotional up here. That came from him, that he did this almost every week over the years that he preached. There's some just tangible things. You know, he was the last pastor of this church. And here I am pastoring the church. I literally took the job that he was in. I mean, you guys chose that. That's your fault. But I mean, I sit at the same desk that he sat at, and I work in the same office. And I got part of that, the blessing of that is I got to inherit the opportunity to drive a 2011 Venza. And that's not the case anymore, but I drove that for 7 years, and that was a thing. And so I've inherited all these things. One of my favorite stories, real quick. And I know I've told this to you before, but for the new people, this is just too good. My dad, when he was a kid, he found a padlock. And I got to high school, and I didn't really use a locker much, but at one point in high school, I decided that I needed to start using my locker, and so I needed a lock. And so my dad pulled out this padlock, and he gave it to me. And he said, you know, when I was a kid, I found this lock, and I didn't know the combination. So I sat there for years, I mean, not continuously, but through the years, he continually worked. I mean, first of all, who does this? Like, this is on him, right? But he sat there for years just trying different combinations until he found the combination, and here it is, the combination's on the back of it, and so this was a special padlock, and you know what I did? I lost it. Isn't that awful? Am I not terrible? Do you not just look down on me right now? I've inherited so many things. I mean, a few years ago, after my mom passed, we bought my parents' house from them. And with the house came about 85 to 90% of the things that they owned, all still in there that we got to go through. Thanks, Carol, and everybody that helped Megan go through the house and clean it out. I've inherited so many things from my parents, especially from my dad. I was thinking about that this week because we're starting a series called Faith Passed Forward. And I've inherited a lot of things, the crying, the look, the forehead that became a five head that might be a six head now that just keeps going backwards. Like, I've inherited all these things from my parents. But can I tell you a testimony of faithfulness today, that the thing that I inherited more than anything else is I inherited a faith in Christ that's become my own. Two things that I never had to question growing up were whether my parents loved me or whether they served God. They served God with everything they had. And so we're talking in, over the next 4 weeks about faith passed forward. Listen, I want you to understand this. We as a church believe strongly in passing our faith forward to future generations. I was thinking this week, Megan and I were talking about what we're passing along to our kids. What is it that they're seeing from me? What is it that 20, 30 years from now, my kids will say they got from me? As a church, we believe strongly that we need to pass our faith to future generations. Our vision is upward, that everyone would grow in their relationship with Christ, outward, that we're going to go out, we're going to serve, we're going to share Christ with others, and then forward, that we are going to invest in future generations, because we believe here at the church, listen, the church is, someone's going to correct me, 60-some years old, and it has a, thank you very much, Jackie, I knew it would be you, thank you very much. 67 years this church has been around, and has been through a lot of things, and praise God, our church has a great past, but we believe that our church has a great future. We believe that God has great things in store, but that starts as we pass our faith forward. So the question that I want to ask you today is, what are we passing on to future generations? That's kind of the theme of this series. What are we passing on to future generations? Well, today I want to warn you, just fair warning. The title of this message is called, It's Time to Choose. It's time to choose. So I just want to give you a fair warning that today, it's time to choose. As we start this series on faith passed forward, we're starting in Joshua chapter 24, in the book of Joshua, the last chapter, chapter 24, and today it's time to choose. So let me give you a little bit of background, and then I'm going to read you Joshua 24. Joshua 24, so God, the story of Scripture, this is going back to the very beginning, is that God created us, but then God came to a guy named Abraham and said, I want to bless you, and I want to make many nations out of you. I want to bless all of your relatives for years to come. God says, you are going to be my chosen people. And so God blesses him, and then eventually God comes back to the people of Israel, which is Abraham's people. And God says, I'm going to lead you to a promised land. And so there's a lot to the story. We're going to read it here in a minute. But basically Joshua, so Joshua 24, the guy that this book is named after, Joshua was the leader that took over right before they went into the promised land. And Joshua was the leader that led them. He was there with them for about 30 years, 30-some years, leading them through the promised land. So as we get to Joshua 24 today, what's happening here is Joshua, the leader who led them into the promised land, has led them for 30-some years. This is the end for him. He knows that his time is coming to an end. He knows that this is the last time that he will gather the people of Israel together as their leader. And so he calls a huge meeting. He calls it at a place called Shechem, a special place to the people of Israel. And he calls them together. Let me set the stage for you. Shechem is a valley that's between two mountains. And so it's this perfect place where he gathered all the leaders and all the people together. And they're in this valley. And they say of this valley of Shechem that you don't even need a microphone because the acoustics are so perfect. And so Joshua has one last opportunity to gather together with the people of God, the Israelites, and he calls them together at Shechem. And chapter 24, that's where we're going to pick it up. And so I'm going to read this. Why don't you stand with me? And let me just say this. Some of you may be thinking, why are these weird people standing? Because we believe there's something incredible about God's word. We believe that God himself speaks to us through his word. And you may think that's crazy, you may think that's weird, but let me tell you, I've read the scriptures, I've read the Bible so many times, and it's amazing how I can pick it up after reading the same scripture 100 times and God will speak to me in a new way. Maybe I don't hear an audible voice, but God speaks. We believe that God wants to speak to us through the word. So we stand so that we can receive that. So here is what happens. Joshua's called the people together. He's standing in the valley of Shechem, and he says this. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river, and I led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out of Egypt. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried out for help to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them, and you saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. This is covering years and years. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan, and they fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan, and you came to Jericho. And the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Verse 14, this is where we're really going to focus today. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can have a seat. I know that was a lot. Thanks for sticking with me. Joshua calls the people together, and he starts by telling them the story of God's faithfulness. We're going to come back to this a little bit later, but he talks to them. He tells them everything that God has done for them. He called them. He brought them out. He led them. He took care of them. He delivered people into their hands. I mean, all through the years, God has been faithful to these people. And then he calls them to the time of decision. This is Joshua's last time with the people that he's spent the better part of his life serving and leading. And the last thing that he cares about is to call them to a decision. Why is that? Because the most important thing to him wasn't choosing the next perfect leader. And the most important thing to him wasn't teaching them how to have the right government or how to fortify their cities or how to make sure that they're protected and in the perfect spot. The most important thing to him wasn't even what they thought of him and what his legacy would be. The most important thing to him, Joshua's main concern, was for the faith of future generations of Israelites. And so he calls them together one last time. And he understood that the most important thing was not who they chose for their next leader and how they fortified their cities. The most important thing was that they continued to follow God. And so he brought them together and he called them to a decision. Today, it's time to choose. There's three things I want us to see in here. The first is in verse 14. Joshua lays out the whole story. He says, God has been faithful. He brought you out. He delivered you. He delivered these people. He brought the sea over these people. I mean, he tells the whole story. I mean, really quickly. He didn't tell it in detail. He told it really quickly. Just this whole sweeping story of what God had done for him. And then he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Joshua calls the Israelites to have a healthy fear of the Lord. This is really important. The people of Israel had a long history. You didn't hear about it in there, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but the people of Israel had a long history of forgetting how important God was and forgetting just how powerful he was and everything that he had done for him. So there's this cycle that we see in Scripture. It starts from when God calls Abraham, it starts, and there's this cycle that the people continually, they'll follow God for a little bit and they'll trust in God. But then things get to be, you know, going okay, and they get a little comfortable, and all of a sudden they would forget just how important God was. And they would lose the fear of the Lord. And over again, this cycle happened where when they forgot and they lost their fear of the Lord, then they would turn to other, what we would call little g gods, God, not the one true God, but little g gods. See, in that day, the Amorites, their forefathers, all these different people had these little g gods, like the god of the rain, the god of the crops, the god of the sun. And so when they got comfortable and they lost a healthy fear of the Lord, then they would turn to these other gods and they would start praying to these things and worshiping these things. And over and over and over again, they fell into this trap and their lives got really messed up. But over and over again, the one true God who loves them was faithful to call them back. And so Joshua calls the people together in his last time with them. He says, you need to fear the Lord and you need to serve him faithfully. Let's talk about that word fear. I think that's a misunderstood word by some people. Fear the Lord. You know, that word doesn't mean that you have to be terrified of God. It doesn't mean you have to run away from God. Let me give you an example. We've been going on family vacation for over 25 years or about 25 years to the same place in Destin, Florida. And I mean, I was going there when I was in high school. I brought friends there. And we've gone there all through the years of raising our kids. And we go down to the Jetty East condominium complex. And right there, there's, you know, we got the room. And then there's this beautiful pool. And then you walk down this little bridge. And there is the beach. But for years, especially the last, you know, 16 to 18 years, we've had little kids with us. And so we haven't really gone to the ocean much because it's just, the ocean's a little bit crazy when you got little kids. And so for years, we were just kind of swimming in the comfort. We were enjoying, listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm like my dad. I can just sit in a pool all day long and it's all good. But the last few years, something cool's been happening. Our kids are getting older, and even our youngest are getting to the age where we can go into the ocean and we can enjoy playing in the waves. How many of you enjoy playing in the waves? It's okay. It's all right. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's great. Playing in the waves is fun. How many of you like to get a good boogie board or you know, a raft, and you just like to float? Any of you? I'll tell you what I love to do. I love it when a big wave's coming in. I love to just dive into it. Anyone else? I love, so we've gotten to this great place now where we can take the kids out there with a little bit less worry. There's still worry. Like you're sitting there and you lose track and then you look over and your kid's a mile away. They've floated off and you, oh, I should probably watch them. But we've got this great opportunity that we get to go out to the beach now and enjoy the ocean. Here's the deal. You need to have a healthy fear of the ocean. And when I say a fear, I don't mean you need to be terrified. But you have to have a healthy respect for the ocean and its power. And you know this if you've ever gotten and played in the waves. See, Destin doesn't have the best waves. Some days they're pretty bad. But every once in a while, after a storm, there will be a few days where you just get some really good waves. And you get out there and you're having fun and you're enjoying yourself. But then maybe you get a little bit comfortable. Maybe someone takes your attention away and you turn around and you guys know what's coming, right? You forget just how powerful the ocean is, and all of a sudden, you just get wiped out. I mean, I'm 6'4", 230, and every once in a while, a good wave will just take me out. And for my kids, sometimes they get taken out, and then they keep getting taken out, because every wave, they can't get it back together. Listen, you have to have a healthy respect and fear for the ocean. It's powerful. I don't care how good of a swimmer you are. If there's a riptide, you don't have the power to swim against it. And so you have to have this understanding. So when you go out there, you go out there. It's not that you have to stay away from it. It's a great place. It's a lot of fun. I love taking my kids there. But you'd better have a healthy fear and respect. And you'd better remember just how powerful those waves and that water is. That's what this is talking about. And listen, I don't mean to, God is greater than the ocean. God has more power. In fact, it says in the scripture that God moves the sea, that God covers people. Like, God has power over the ocean. What Joshua is saying is you need to have a healthy understanding and respect and fear of the Lord. This is the one true God, the God that created everything. And he's just laid out. He did this for you. He delivered you from these people. He split the seas so that you could walk through it. He brought the seas over on people. I mean, this God is a God that needs to be respected and honored and feared. He's not saying run away from God, cower in the corner because God's after you. What he's saying is you need to know that this God is the one true God. Fearing the Lord is not about cowering. It's about bowing in reverence and surrender. And so the story of the Israelites, they would lose that healthy fear of the Lord. They would forget that this is the God that has brought them everywhere they've been. This is the God that fed them in the desert. This is the God that split the seas. And they would get comfortable just like maybe you do in the waves every once in a while, and they would forget the power and the importance of God. Listen, the story of the Israelites, it's our story. I mean, if you start at the beginning of Scripture, I told you, you're going to see the cycle over and over again where people would get comfortable and then they would forget the fear of the Lord and then they would turn to other things and then they would come back to God and then this cycle happened. I'll bet if we talk to each one of you, that every single one of us has walked through that cycle. I'll bet every single one of us at times has become comfortable or has lost that healthy respect or fear, and all of a sudden we've gotten off track and we've gotten lost in our faith. This is our story. And so Joshua, his last chance to be with the people, he calls them to have a healthy fear and to serve him with faithfulness. Let's talk about serving him with faithfulness, because this was the Israelites' problem. When they lost the healthy fear of the Lord, they turn to other things. If you've ever been to a wedding or been married, you stand at an altar and you pledge your faithfulness to your spouse. And that faithfulness means that, number one, you're going to be married to that person. You're going to be faithful to that person. And then the other thing is that you'll be faithful every single day. And so what he says you need to have a healthy fear and understanding of who God is. And you need to stay and serve him faithfully every day. You need to continue to choose him. See, the Israelites' problem is that they would turn to other gods when they got comfortable. I don't think their problem was the big moments. It wasn't when the enemy was about to get them. They were really good at calling out to God when the enemy was coming. It was in the everyday little moments. See, serving God means you've got to choose him every single day. Faithfulness doesn't just happen in big moments. It happens daily as we choose to serve him. And so they kept turning to other gods. And Joshua calls them and commands them to a choice. It's time to choose. He says, "This is our God. This is what he's done for us. This is who he is." And then he says this, "Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve." Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. See, the Israelites had a huge problem with these other gods. They wanted to serve God when they needed him, but then when things got good, they wanted to turn to these other fun things. And Joshua says, no, right here at Shechem, we're going to renew your covenant. You are going to make a choice today. You need to either serve the God, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or you can serve those little figurines, the God of the rain and the God of the crops and the God of the sun. He calls them to a choice, and they have to choose. Listen, as a pastor, this next part, I just want to be really clear. My goal is not to hurt anyone's feelings or make anyone feel guilty, but I'm telling you, the story of the Israelites is our story. And we may not have little wooden figurines. Maybe you do. We may not have little stone gods that we worship, but there are false gods all around us. And when we lose a healthy fear of the Lord, we'll turn to those other little g gods, and we'll lose our way. Let's talk about some of them. I do this all, you've heard this before, but I want you to hear it again. There's the God of money and power. There are a lot of people who when they lose a healthy fear of the Lord, they start to think that money is the most important thing, or power or influence is the most important thing. And all of a sudden, it's not about serving the one true God. It's about serving this, you know, the world tells us if you have enough money, then you're going to have a good life. But the truth of the matter is, there are people that are rich that are miserable and lacking. There's the God of, all right, I'm going to step on some toes here. There's the God of sports. I'm a father of four boys. I love sports. I grew up being a sports fan. I watch sports every single day. Just full honesty, I watch basketball, football, baseball, all of it every single day. My boys are growing up, and they're getting to that age. See, when I was in sports, when I was in junior high and high school, that wasn't really an issue for. I mean, we did have, on Wednesday nights, I had basketball practice, and basketball practice ended at 6:30, and church started at 7. And my basketball practice was 30 minutes away from church. So you know what I did every Wednesday? I got in my car all smelly and sweaty, and I drove to church, and I went to church because that was what we did. But things have changed. Like, we never had to worry about Sunday games or weekend tournaments. I just want to tell you that the world has a little G God in sports that wants to take over your life. And I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but listen to me. You can get your kids on the best teams. They can get scholarships, whatever. If they don't serve the one true God, they've missed it. And far too often, we put something silly, and I love sports, but we put something silly in front of the one true God. Sports is an idol. You know what one in the church is? Let's go ahead. I mean, while we're offending people, let's just go ahead and offend everyone. Here we go. You know what one in the church is the little g God of comfort. You know, I've seen enough in the church to know that sometimes when we get comfortable, we start to value our comfort over our obedience to God. And that's when the church gets in arguments over stupid things like carpet or music or any, and listen, I'm not saying music is stupid, but when we start fighting and losing our faith over little things like comfort, what we want to see happen, how we think the church should go, we are making those things into a God, and they're not. There's one true God. There's the God of security. The world will tell you if you can just secure yourself, if you can do the right things, if you can take care of your health, if you can put the right security measures around you, then you're going to be fine. The truth of the matter is, that's not the real God. It's a little g God. You can drive yourself crazy worrying about security. It's not God. And then there's one that we're all guilty of. Just the God of selfishness. We want what we want. We want to take care of ourselves first. And here's the deal. The world tells us that these are the ways that if we just do these things, if we bow to the altars of sports and security and comfort and all these things, if we bow to those gods, then your life will be better. But the truth of the matter is this, there is one true God. And so Joshua calls the people. He says, you can worship those little g gods, but you can't worship both. And so he says, choose this day for yourselves whom you will serve. We can't serve the one true God and serve these little g gods. It doesn't work. Listen, I'm not saying you can't play sports. I'm not saying you can't have money. I'm not saying you can't have influence. I'm not saying that comfort is a bad thing. What I'm saying is this: all of these things should come after your healthy fear and respect and faithfulness to the one true God. These things come after God. We honor God. We commit to God first. We're faithful to Him. And then these things are gifts. They're not gods. And so Joshua calls them to a choice. Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. But I love this. Sorry, I'm going to go a little bit late today. If you need to leave, please don't. This is too important. That's too important. I love this. He doesn't give them a choice in a vacuum. He spent the first 13 verses telling them all about who God is. Hey, this is the God that called you. This is the God that brought you into this wonderful land. He ends by saying, you live in cities you didn't build. You eat crops that you didn't raise. God has done all this for you. He loves you so much that He's taken care of you all this time and brought you to this place. But today, you have to choose. Let me say this to you, and I know that there may be people in the room that don't know God as their Lord and Savior. Listen, choosing the Lord makes perfect sense. He didn't just give some random choice. He told them all about who God is. And he said, then there's the gods of your ancestors and the gods of the Amorites. You've got to choose between them. But here's the thing, it's not even a hard choice. Because the one true God loves you. He not only created you, he loves you more than anybody ever will. He loves you perfectly. He chooses to call you into this. If you're here today, you're not here today by accident. God has brought you here, and he loves you. Even with all your messiness, even with all of your mistakes, he loves you. He loves you perfectly. And the second reason it makes perfect sense is because he is the only way to have life. Listen, you can chase after all these little g gods, and I promise you will end up empty. The best basketball players and football players in the world at the end of the season feel an emptiness because it won't fill you. It won't give you life. No amount of money can make you happy. There are miserable rich people all over the place. There's only one true God that loves you and can give you life. And so Joshua says, choose today who you will serve. I love this last part. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is his last time gathering with the people. He's led them for years and years. He's been through so much with them. And he says, listen, you have to once again choose who you're going to serve. But for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. A few words here. But no matter what you choose, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He says, as for me and my household. I want you to understand something today. Church, I want you to understand something. Parents, I want you to understand something. Teens, that your choice to follow Jesus is not just for you. It's not just your choice. Your choice to follow Jesus is not just a decision for you. It will impact your family and the people you have influence over. It will change generations. You have a choice, and you have to choose. So choose this day who you will serve. There's a lot of different people in this room. There's some people in the room that have been longtime church members. There's probably some people in here that have served God faithfully for 60, 70, maybe even 80 years. You know what? There were people gathered at Shechem that had followed God and had served him faithfully. And Joshua says, today, you need to make a choice. This section is entitled, The Covenant Renewed. See, God chose them and invites them into a relationship. And no matter how many times you've made this choice, today, you have a choice. Are you going to serve the one true God? Or are you going to serve the gods of this world, the little g gods? Listen, we're only here because of what he's done for us. It's time today to make a choice. Parents, we got a lot of parents in the room. Even if your kids aren't in here, even if your kids are grown, today you have a choice to make. Joshua was over 100 years old, and he says, as for me and my household, today we will serve the Lord. Today, if you're a parent, you have a choice. And it's not just for you. It's for all those that would come after you. If you're not a parent, and you're a part of this church, and you've been a part of this church forever, you have a choice that will affect future generations. Today, choose who you will serve. I'm so thankful. I'm here today because of a faithful God and faithful parents who chose to serve him. Teens, young people, you have a choice today. And you don't have kids of your own, but the future generations will be affected by your choice today. Choose today who you will serve. And the last group of people I want to talk to, there may be some of you in here that at one point you served the Lord, but maybe you've run away from that. At one point, maybe you were faithful, but something got in the way and you find yourself lost today. Maybe there's people in here that have never made that decision. You've never come to a place that you've chosen God or the little g gods. Today, you have a choice. And I'm just going to guess there are some people in here that would say, hey, I don't deserve this. I don't, I'm not good enough. I don't belong here. There are probably some people that walked into this church with some shame, maybe over decisions you've made, maybe over decisions you haven't made. And you think, listen, I don't belong here. Can I tell you the good news of the gospel? You know, when I read the story earlier of what God had done, you know what you didn't hear in that story? You didn't hear all the times that the Israelites failed. You didn't hear all the times that the Israelites chose to go against God. You didn't hear about the times that they killed others or hurt others. You didn't hear about their sin. You know why you didn't hear about their sin? Because we serve a God that sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to a cross. And on that cross, our sins and our mistakes were paid for. I love this. If you read this, you wouldn't pick this up, but their sin isn't mentioned because it's gone. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, we are made clean and whole. So today, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, today you have a choice. The God that loves you more than you'll ever know, or a bunch of little g gods that can't fill you, can't make you happy, can't give you real life. It's time to choose. Worship team, come on up. We're going to do something a little bit different today. Why don't you guys stand with me? Joshua told the Israelites, choose this day whom you will serve. And that choice is there for every single one of us. I don't care which group you fall into that I was talking about. Today, the choice is yours. You need to choose. Today, just like the Israelites did at Shechem in Joshua 24, we are called to a decision. You can choose him, or you can choose the little g gods of this world. So I want to ask you to do something. If you're a church member, if you're a parent, if you're someone who's been following God for a long time, I want to ask you today to choose once again to serve the Almighty God. And if you want to do that, if you will commit to do that today, this is uncomfortable, I'm sorry, but I want to ask you to come forward. And as we sing this last worship song, I have decided to follow Jesus, I want you to once again just stand up here. Just however it works, just come forward. Make the decision today. I don't care how many hundreds of times you've made the decision. Make the decision today for you, for your family, for future generations, that today I will serve the Lord. But man, if there's any of you in here that have never made that decision, oh my word, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that offers you life, that can wipe away all the stuff you've done before and invites you to be clean and new. If that's you today, you can come. You can kneel at an altar, you can stand, you can have someone pray with you, and you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, choose who you will serve. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray that you call each and every one of us. And I pray that we would choose you. Lord, there's no shame. This isn't about embarrassing anyone, Lord. This is about making a decision to follow you. So Lord, we love you. It's time to choose. In Jesus' name, amen. Choose this day who you will serve.